grad student. Welcome to the Dear Grad Student and PhD Balance collab episode. If you haven't already, go check out my episode on PhD Balance's podcast, Grad Chat, which you can find on your favorite podcast app or in today's episode description. To say that I'm excited about this collaboration is really an understatement. I think PhD Balance was one of the first accounts I ever found on academic Twitter that was there for grad students and for their mental health and their well-being. And this team is definitely a team that I have looked up to since I started podcasting, so I'm thrilled. I know that you will love both episodes, so make sure you check them out. And if you are coming from PhD Balance's episode and you've never heard about me before or heard about this podcast, welcome! I'm Alana. I started this podcast during quarantine, and I'm still doing it, to the shock of my newly diagnosed ADHD. I'm also super happy to announce that the podcast officially hit 35,000 downloads and 20 patrons this past week. Thank you all so much for the support and the listens, especially those of you who have shared the podcast with a friend or a lab mate or a cohort member. Word of mouth is actually the best way for podcasts to spread, especially ones like this one. And not to brag, but I do feel like today's episode about mental health is a pretty perfect one to share with people who are new to the podcast. So whether you are new or this is your 50-whatever-th episode with Dear Grad Student, I challenge you to share this podcast with one new person this week. All right, enough about me and my podcast. Let's get to today's episode. Today's episode is all about putting you and your mental health first with third-year PhD student and member of the PhD Balance team, Aiden Mowat. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to your favorite grad school podcast, Dear Grad Student, the podcast where grad students can come together to celebrate, commiserate, and support one another through this long and difficult journey. I'm Alana. I'm a fifth-year doctoral candidate and your host, and I'm joined today by a third-year PhD student studying hydrogeochemistry and understanding how groundwater moves and has moved over time deep beneath our feet, Aiden Mowat. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for the introduction and having me.
Oh my gosh, of course. For those of you who don't know, today's episode is part of a collab, a crossover episode with Dear Grad Student and PhD Balance. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But Aiden, how about you go ahead and give yourself a shout out on social media? Where can folks connect with you if they're listening to this? And maybe we'll put PhD Balance. We'll throw that in here as well. So where can they connect with you and where can they connect with PhD Balance?
Absolutely. So myself, I have my personal Instagram _ Aiden Mowat, but I kind of have more of an academic focus one for Twitter, Aiden _ Mowat. And then of course, PhD Balance, PhD _Balance on all platforms, I believe.
Well, why don't we go ahead and just start a little bit by talking about what is PhD Balance for anyone who doesn't know. Tell me just a little bit about what is it and what its purpose is.
Yeah, so PhD Balance, it's an online community that's created as a space for academics, including students, but also professors, postdocs, anyone to learn from their shared experiences. So we really want graduate students, anyone in academia, to be able to openly discuss and get help for difficult situations. And PhD Balance has created the space to share resources, connect with others, and have academics share their own experiences of mental health struggles within academia.
Wow. Yeah, I think PhD Balance was one of those first places on academic Twitter that I saw that kind of community building. I remember when I was starting the podcast and I was having this moment of like, does anything like this exist? And at the time, I don't even know if Grad Chat existed, let alone as it exists now as a podcast. Yeah. But I remember feeling like I was missing this presence. And then I remember finding PhD Balance and being like, oh my God, it already exists and they're so successful. Should I even start a podcast? And turns out there's room for many of us in this space.
Oh, so much room.
And everyone needs support. And also, I definitely do a lot of things different than PhD Balance. Like it's definitely totally different, but I think that it's so important to have these spaces in academia, and it's so cool to have you here just representing one of those spaces. So thanks again for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here and excited for our talk today.
Yeah, me too. So, and what do you do for PhD Balance? What's your role? Because you're one of many on a team.
Oh, yeah, we have a massive team. I'm currently the digital media designer or like graphic designer for PhD Balance, but then I also help support the other needs within the social media team. And so I'm kind of like social media presence throughout the platforms.
You have a social media team?
Yeah, we have a social media team. We used to have like a website team that's now merged to social media team. We have so many teams. There's so many of us now. It's grown so much.
It's so cool because like meanwhile, I'm like, I have a person helping me on posting. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm one of many on a team. It's like so, I'm very impressed. So official.
It used to be like five people in the beginning. And then over time, we've just honestly grown so much that we've needed to like categorize everything.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Wow, you love a category. Well, anyone listening to this episode who has not listened to the PhD Balance podcast Grad Chat, you can go ahead and click the link in the description for today's episode to find all of the episodes. But as you are listening to this episode on Dear Grad Student, my episode on Grad Chat came out on the 22nd, so 2 days ago, this past Saturday. That will also be in the episode description for today's episode. I spoke with Linda, who many of you know from Twitter, and it was just one of those conversations where we actually had to force ourselves to end the conversation because we could have kept talking for hours. And actually, I think we stayed on the Zoom call for like 45 minutes. And both of us were like, this conversation is never going to end. Like, we both have ADHD and we're both like, let me just tell you one more thing. And we just did that for 45 minutes and it was amazing. So if you're looking for more conversations about mental health as we get into the thick of this semester, go ahead and check that one out. So Aiden, before we fully jump into today's episode, I always like to start my episodes by putting my guests in their context, especially when today a lot of what we talk about is going to be directly related to your PhD journey. I think that it's important to just give a really brief overview on like, what is your research, right? I said hydrogeochemistry, which means absolutely nothing to me except for like water rocks chemistry. Like that's what my mind did, which maybe that's exactly what
that's literally what it is.
Amazing. So we can skip the whole section. No, just kidding. But I like to put people in their context. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you research? Like what's your thing? How did you get here?
Yeah. So like you mentioned, hydrogeochemistry is literally exactly what it sounds like. I deal with some water. I deal with some rocks. I deal with a lot of chemistry, isotopes, solute chemistry. But honestly, the background to where I've gotten is kind of what's more important to what we're going to be chatting about today. Because throughout my life, I've kind of been on this set path. And like that kind of sets up everything we will be chatting about. So I've been on this like set path in a STEM field for as long as I can remember. I also always loved like sciences, maths, everything in like high school and stuff. So it was just like what I was going to be doing, right? I entered university and I basically followed that. I didn't give myself a whole lot of choices. And I even remember it was a photography class that I wanted to take. And I was like, wow, this would be so cool. And I remember being told like, oh, that's such a waste of money. That's like a waste of time for yourself. Like right. Do something that's going to be useful. So again, I kind of was predisposition of what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
And after experimenting with classes, I found geology, I found environmental sciences, and that's what I finished my undergraduate project with. And I kind of specialized in geochemistry and environmental sciences. So that's what led me to the projects I've taken on moving forward. At this time, I was presented with a pretty easy way forward. Like my honors supervisor approached me with this project that sounded really cool. It was exactly what I kind of wanted at that time. So it was kind of almost like handed to me. I didn't really have to apply for anything. And then that snowballed because things just kept being added to the project from my supervisors.
Yeah.
And that led to upgrading to my PhD. So all of that is to say that I've kind of just followed what was like where the breadcrumbs were as I've gone along and not, yes, haven't given myself a lot of time to explore my other passions. And one thing I've really been picking up the last, say, few years, but it's been a huge thing for me, is the passion for mental health and mental health advocacy. So that included volunteering with multiple things, but also kind of doing my own side research and finding out like how I could maybe incorporate this into a future career, whatever I was doing.
Yeah. Well, and the PhD balance, I think, also even makes a lot more sense in your context. Yes. Above and beyond just being like, oh, this is an interest. It's like, no, like I have a genuine, like deep passion for this area. And I think that your story is actually, I mean, it's not common, but I don't think it's uncommon either.
I think so too. Yeah.
I, off the top of my head, and it's like tough, right? Because as I'm getting closer to the end of grad school and I think about my postdoc one day and I do want to be in academia, I have these thoughts that like it does potentially increase access and help with fit and all of these things. Like if you take on a student you already know, like I see so many pros for all parties involved. And yet there needs to be that reminder that the people that are taken on immediately and it's just kind of a given, they have less time to be like, is this what I want? Even if it is what they want.
Absolutely.
In that moment. So, and we'll get a little deeper into this, but we're going to talk about how, you know, life is more important than grad school. And in your case, that has resulted in this moment into choosing to master out. And we'll talk all about how you reached that decision and why you got there. But I'm not going to go deep into the story because it's not my story to tell. But I actually know somebody with the same exact story who also mastered out in my personal life.
Oh, awesome.
So this really is not uncommon. And I think that it's a scary thing for people to face because it's one of those things, like, it's really easy to avoid the thoughts creeping up in your head. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, I mean, I don't know how old you are. I'm 26. And I feel like
I'm
a lot of people, okay, God bless America.
Close. Same age.
Yes. Oh, my God. No, God bless Canada. You're in Canada. Okay. God bless Canada for so many reasons, but we'll get off that. But I feel like people our age kind of, like, come to crossroads with relationships, right? Like, married or breaking up. And it's almost like that relationship where like you've been in a relationship a really long time and things are fine, but like maybe in the back of the or your head, like you really want to break up, but you just like let that fester and then it's like a big blow up.
Yes.
I feel like that happens with grad school. It's like, oh, I'm going through the motions, these are the steps, blah, 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 blah. But when you really think about you, your values and like what is serving you, it isn't. And like that's a really fucking scary thing to face.
It really is. And I think it comes from our generation kind of being told to, you know, this is the path that you're taking because maybe I didn't, as parents or as grandparents saying, this is the path you're taking because I didn't have that opportunity.
Right.
And now you do. And so I had the privilege and I was fortunate enough to take those paths.
Right.
And they kind of were looking out for me, quote unquote, when really maybe it like wasn't in my best interest. And yeah, it is super common for it to kind of just be easy for someone to like pick something that's just right in front of them.
Right. And it's like, and it feels like the easy option. Like it's one of those things. It's tough because like you said, it really is people just kind of looking out for us. And yet, you know, this is a potential. And I think that people think about that less, especially because when we're making some of those choices, like it's scary, right? So we'll talk a little bit today about how struggles and challenges in your professional life did seep into your personal life and the mental health struggles that came with that. And, you know, on the other hand, as people from the podcast know, I have experienced things in my personal life this past semester with some grief and some burnout that leaked into my professional life. So I feel like we're going to come from opposite ends of, I wanted to say bleeding, which sounds awful, but like, we're just going to like talk about like professional and personal sort of bleeding into each other from opposite ends. So I think we'll have a really interesting conversation today. So why don't you give us some more of the details of some of the spoilers I've mentioned here about your program generally and the sort of general process of choosing to master out. And we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So yeah, you mentioned I'm mastering out. I made the huge life-changing decision to master out. And actually, what I've chosen to do is master out of my PhD in geology and instead enroll in a Master's of Arts in Counseling Psychology to become a therapist.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I really realized that like my passion in mental health and mental health advocacy was what I wanted to make like out of my life. And
this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I made a difficult decision, but I had a path like in mind of what I wanted to do after. And so I'm still in the process of mastering out and I'm still I haven't enrolled in like anything new yet, but that'll hopefully be in the next year. But yeah, it was a really difficult decision because, you know, I'd kind of hit this burnout point in my own mental health and burnout in school. The burnout for me, it came well before the pandemic. I would say I was kind of hitting this wall of like not really loving what I was doing. Mm. And then the pandemic hit and I've struggled with mental health issues my entire life. And so I was already really struggling with my anxiety, depression. And so I had started going to therapy in like 2019, I'd say. And so a lot of things were coming up at that point too, sure, that led to the burnout, that it was just like everything was kind of bubbling in my brain all at once.
Yeah.
And this journey, although it was like quite a bit of time in the making, it was kind of also like a really fast decision to make. So for me, I knew I needed to make this decision when it became this like now or never type moment for me. During the pandemic, I was doing a lot of personal growth. I had actually, we talked about like relationships bubbling and ending earlier. I had ended almost a decade long relationship. So there's
weird that I gave that example now.
I know when you said that, I was like, oh my goodness, because yeah, it was like there's a lot of changes. And so I was really kind of on my own, like, okay, this is my life, what am I making of it? And I was trying to experience with like science communication, maybe like the health sciences or science, getting away from the sciences as it directly relates to my field, basically like distancing myself as much as I could. And I realized like I reached this point of knowing what I really wanted, which was like not to do what I was doing. And so by the time I kind of reached that point, I was so detached from the subject and my field that I was like, okay, I'm like over it almost. Like I'm making this decision for myself. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy decision. Like that, it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't easy to tell people, but like in my heart, I knew it was the right decision.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because when you were like, yeah, I'm mastering out, but like I'm following this passion and like I'm doing the counseling program, I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. But like the reality is that like it wasn't in the moment. Like it was hard and intense and emotional. And you know, you've brought up a point that I think about a lot when I think about the last 5 years of my life in grad school. Mm-hmm. Wow, 5 years, tragic.
I know, it's crazy to think about, right?
Right. So the thing that it makes me think about is the fact that, like, you know, we go through puberty in our teen years and we go through like a lot of growth in college. And I feel like there's something, like people might call it a quarter life crisis. I like to call it my mid-20s renaissance, because because self-love and compassion.
Yeah.
I feel like I went through a total mental transformation that, if I'm being honest, was completely unrelated to grad school, but just constantly was bleeding into it.
Absolutely.
Like, this whole thing with like my sexual identity, this entire thing about like my own confidence and how I see myself, and like a similar, like, I am a human and this life is mine and I am in charge of it and I can make these choices, and it matters to an extent, but also it doesn't matter. And what does that mean? And everything I'm doing, I'm choosing to do. Like, I'm not forced to be in this relationship. I'm not forced to be in this program. I'm not forced to be whatever. And it's a really scary time. Like, that's, I guess that's why it's the quarter life crisis. But I hit that right when the pandemic hit. And I was 24 when the pandemic hit. So it was like prime time.
Life's really like, let me show you what I'm going to throw at you.
Right. And it was so weird because externally, nothing was changing in my life. It was more of just like, things that had been bubbling up, I was facing for the first time, like questions about my life and myself, and realizing I wake up every day and choose to do what I do. And so I think it's so interesting hearing you talk. You know, we made different decisions on some of those questions. Me and my partner have been together almost 8 years, but I went through a similar, like, this is a choice. I can go at any time.
Yes.
Do I want to? I landed on no, and you landed on yes. And I think the big thing is just like, it wasn't until my mid-20s that I felt like autonomy in that way.
And you know, that I can make those decisions.
And that I can. And not like, not in a way of like the other person was keeping me, but in a way of like, this is the fact of my life. And so I am following it.
Yeah.
Just in a, I am not changing the facts of my life kind of way. I'm going with it because I have been, right? You go to high school because you're supposed to. You go to college generally because you're supposed to. You do this or that. You get a job because you're supposed to. And you follow that. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to like quit grad school, buy a van and live in the woods. But I'm just saying that like you could. That's all I'm saying. And and the reality that I had the ability to do so. You went through, you just kind of went through the same thing. And it's just like, it's really interesting hearing you talk because same.
Yeah. And I think I think that's so interesting that you say that, that like you're rolling this magic eight ball of like, what am I doing with my life? Oh, no, I'm going to make the decision. Yes, I can do this. No, I don't have to do this. And
it's like a re-consenting. Like I had a re-consent to everything I had chosen because I realized that it was a choice at all points.
Yeah. And I landed on no for a lot of things. And
that's okay. Kind
of. Yeah. And it kind of shook my world up. And it shook other people's worlds up too, because the fact that I had to come to is that this is going to affect other people in my life as well. But I will say also, it doesn't matter. Right. Like in the
end, you gotta do what's right for you.
Yeah. In the end, it was about me and I put my mental health and also like my time and money first. Why would I stay in something? So what had actually happened is I came to this like now or never situation.
Right.
I had just finished like some presentations, conference stuff. I had just had this manuscript accepted. Kind of the next point would be to like move on to something else that I'd be doing for my PhD. And it was like, do I really want to spend the next 2 years, 2.5 years doing this? Like,
and career.
Yeah. And like, I'm just wasting my time. I'm wasting my money. I'm wasting their time and money. And why am I doing this if I don't want to do this? So I just really had to like pull the plug on that. And it wasn't like a forced line, but it was like a now or never feeling that I was having.
Yeah. You know, the only other time that I can sort of like relate to that, I mean, I had that moment with all of my things, but I stuck with most of the things that I was doing. It was more rather realizing how purposeful and in my control it was. That was my realization. But I had this when I came out as bisexual, where I just got to a point where one day I was like, right now, I either need to start feeling and like identifying this way or figure something else out. Like I kind of got to like a peak of like internal turmoil where I was like a decision had to be made. Like I either need to come out or like I need to do something about it.
Absolutely.
And it was like for me, I don't know if it was similar for you, but like when I made the decision to be like, okay, I'm bi and I'm going to identify that way and I'm going to tell people and it's valid, just like immense relief. Like the hard work was still ahead of me to do that and to start saying it, but the decision was like incredible internal relief that a decision had been made.
It's a beautiful feeling, actually.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So you relate.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually, last place I lived at, I lived across the alley from a local pub and I would often go there and I had a therapy session that day and I was just really in my feelings. And actually my therapist just went on mat leave too. So I was just like, now I have to spend 6 to 9 months without her. And all my brain is thinking that I need to quit my PhD. And I went and I bawled at the pub and like, I was friends like the waitresses there, but it was just like this moment of like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to do. And that realization was just like kind of such a beautiful feeling for me.
Right. So when your memoir is a New York Times bestseller with the climax of you sobbing at a bar because your therapist is going on maternity leave and you're quitting your whole life and changing it, just remember me. I'll interview on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. You know,
sell the rights to your book to the right people. Very important. But like I hear that it literally was like a movie moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's not always that traumatic, although like I gotta be honest, I'm thrilled that it was for you because I'm such a visual person that I'm like, I see that and part of me is like, man, I wanted to be in that bar with you, being like,
yeah, shout out to Somewhere Else Pub and Grill. They were there for me.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, but basically they have a lot of my money, I'll say that for sure.
So something I had in the outline that I definitely want to ask you now is like, we talked about the relief of like making that decision, but I'm curious, like since then, what has it felt like to give yourself permission to put you and your mental health first?
It felt amazing. It has also felt very scary. I dealt with a lot of shame and guilt, too, around it. And I've really had to work on that because, you know, you don't want to disappoint people around you. And you're almost, especially my grandparents, you know, they understand mental health stuff. But for me to say, I don't want to do this, it's ruining my mental health state. And like, why would I want to do something that's doing that? It was, I think, difficult for them to understand. And I'm like, I love them so much. I don't want them to hurt. But at the same time, I'm doing it for me. And throughout this whole thing, I've had like my therapist in my brain saying, never use but statements. You know, I feel this way.
Amazing.
And
therapeutic and. As a former therapist, it's my I use it all the time still.
It's amazing.
Yes.
But this entire time, I had to say to myself, they're so hurt, but I'm doing this for me. You know, I had to kind of be selfish, and that was so freaking scary.
And and hard, I'm sure.
It was very hard, and I put off telling them for a while because I kind of wanted to know what I was doing moving forward before, you know, releasing the bag of beans. The can of beans.
I like a bag of beans way better. Very into alliteration.
It seemed way like more natural to say. Before unleashing this like crazy news, I really wanted to like have the steps in place so that they couldn't. Another thing I was really scared about is like trying to sway my decision.
Yeah.
And like, I think we all struggle with that. Like you say, I'll go to this movie. And your friend says, well, what about this one instead?
I'm a very easily convincible person. It actually reminds me of like when I came out as bi, I was approached by someone in my family who like, I'm not going to call out. It wasn't a negative conversation, but it was one of those like, why do you need to be so vocal about it? And I was like,
yes.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't be so vocal about it. Like, maybe I don't need to be so vocal about it. Like, maybe I just need to tell myself this. And then I immediately was like, no, here's why. Like, you need to able to be in a place to stand your ground. And like, this person wasn't anti whatever. They're just like, you're in a straight relationship. Like, why is this important? Like, they just genuinely wanted to know. But my immediate thought was like, I have to defend myself. And you have to be in a place where like your decision is made enough. And maybe you've taken enough steps where like you can't go back on it and you have to trust yourself. And that is like one of the scariest positions to be in. So props to you.
Thank you. And I think maybe you were like this too, but when I make a decision, it's like set. And I just want to like shout it to the world. Like,
yes.
But I really had to like step back and be like, I need to think and I need to make this decision like wisely. And as much as I wanted to ask family members for advice, in the end, it's like my decision. So I should think about it for myself first. And having my therapist on maternity leave was the last thing I needed in that moment. That's for damn sure.
It was like, it was one of those things where like the skies opened up, the rain poured down, you're like in the street, a car splashes you. It's like, what could be worse? It just keeps getting bad.
She came back from mat leave, I was like, I have something to tell you.
Update. I quit everything.
Yep.
I'm a different person. So nice great. To meet you. Right. Okay. So you're mastering out and you have these plans and you have this step going forward. How has that affected your mental health? How are you doing now? Where are you at?
Oh my God. So good. Like since then, it's been easier to make decisions to like, moving forward from that initial decision, it's been easy to make minor decisions in my life because I'm like, I handled that big thing. Now I can do anything.
So like good perspective.
A great perspective. Cool. I've also like even admitting it to myself, but also admitting it to my supervisors, telling my supervisors, talking to them about it, my family, friends. It's felt like this huge weight lifted off my shoulder. And although I am still like mastering out, so there's still steps to take. I no longer feel like that impending doom of like, oh my God, how much longer is this going to last? Like, and actually my supervisors were the ones to say to me like, oh, you're not just quitting, because they thought like, oh, I'm just peacing out. And I'm like, no, like I've spent all this time. Right. I want to have something to show for it. I want to be proud of that.
Yeah.
So I want to finish this. And like, I've kind of taken a step back from schooling. Like I'm still doing it as frequently, but I'm not putting my mental health on the line for it.
Good for you. Yeah.
And it's felt amazing.
Hey, time for a quick break to thank today's sponsor. Today's episode is being sponsored by BetterHelp, the world's largest online counseling service. BetterHelp assesses your needs and matches you with your own licensed professional therapist. It is available worldwide, and you can access your account at any time. You can send a message to your counselor, or you can schedule your weekly sessions, again, all online. Plus, if you decide that your counselor isn't a good match for you, which happens, it is easy and, more importantly, free to switch counselors if you need to. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and there are lots of different kinds of therapists with different identities who work for them. There's even financial aid available, which I really like because this makes it a more accessible option for grad students, in addition to offering perhaps more diverse therapists or more therapy modalities than might be available in your area. To the handful of listeners who have used the affiliate link that I'm about to repeat to everyone listening, take this as a virtual hug from me to you. I am really proud of you, and I really hope that this is helping. As a Dear Grad Student listener, you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/deargradstudent. That's BETTERHELP. Again, the full link for 10% off your first month is betterhelp.com/deargradstudent. You can also find that link at the bottom of the episode description or on the support page of the podcast website, and it will take you right to that 10% off offer. Okay, back to your favorite podcast. You've reminded me that I do have a direct comparison to what you're talking about. I think there's probably like regular listeners of the podcast who are like, Alana, you quit being a therapist last year. Did you forget? And yes, I did until this moment. Thank you so much. I switched programs, which I completely forget because I didn't switch advisors and I didn't switch research.
Yes.
But I switched from clinical psychology to experimental psychology, and I completely stopped prepping to go on internship, prepping to be a therapist one day, stopped seeing all my clients, not stopped going to practicum. I'd already got my master's, so my department was really incredible about, like, I just shifted categorizations out of the graduate school, but nothing in my personal life or professional life changed because they were fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah, so amazing. And, you know, it's different for every program. But leading up to making that decision, I relate a lot to what you're saying. And it was, you know, now that I think about it, probably the beginning of that like renaissance period, because it was part of that, like, that was one of the things that I was like, I can't. And it wasn't until you said like the doom. And
yeah.
I was like, oh wait, I know about the doom, because mm-hmm. it would be one of those things like, and it really fucked with me being a therapist, because I'd be like, I'm helping people and I hate it.
Oh yes.
So that was a mind fuck for me.
I'm so excited for that for my future.
No, but like so many people love it. And it was one of those things where it's like, I mean, you can probably tell, like, I like talking to people and I really like conversation. And every other aspect of being a therapist wasn't a good fit for me. But being a therapist, I get it. I was like, I got to the point where like I was really good at it, and then I still didn't like it. And I was like, cool, like I can separate my fear of this thing from the fact that like it doesn't fit the life I'm looking to live. Mm-hmm. And accepting that and having that be okay. So I do totally relate to what you're talking about now that I think about it. I also feel like, well, now that I've led our whole conversation the wrong way, maybe we'll start over our recording. Just kidding. But like I'm like kicking myself for just having this realization, but I'm also glad that we're talking about it now. But making that decision was like, I remember telling my advisor, I want to say like second year of my PhD, and she was like, oh, just drop. Like, drop that part of your program. Like, you're good. We can just keep doing what we're doing. Just drop the clinical. And I was like, I can do that. And she was like, yeah. And then I was like, well, now I'm not ready. Like, I didn't know that was an option today, you know? So I did it for another year.
Okay.
And then because I was also like, I'm scared of seeing clients. Like, this is still scary. I still feel responsible. Like, let me get a handle on this. Maybe it'll go away. Didn't go away.
Yeah.
And then I finally was like, COVID hit. And then we stopped doing therapy for like 3 or 4 weeks and started on telehealth. And I remember being so angry. I was like, why am I providing therapy during a pandemic when I'm at the worst I've been in my whole life?
Yes.
And people were like, oh, so excited to see clients again. And I was like, what? Like loved my clients. I really, really loved them. And like, you could not have paid me enough money. I did it, obviously. Like, those, it was my responsibility, blah, blah. Like, of course I gave them adequate ethical care, but like, it wasn't good for me.
Yeah. Oh, I can relate to that. Like, I enjoyed what I did. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy what I study. But I look at my supervisors and how passionate they are about what they're doing and how they can just think of a new project and like, ooh, this is so exciting. I'm like, not for me.
Right. And I think that it's like that paradox of like, I can be good at something, I can like something, and it can still not be for me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I can respect that. Like, at the end of the day, if people disagree with your decision, if people judge you for it, if people have a really big issue with it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it does matter. Right. It does matter in the sense of like, it could affect you that they have those opinions or hold those whatevers. But now that I'm a year plus out of it, none of that matters.
Yes.
Right. Like, I don't wake up and dread the day. I don't wake up and feel angry that I don't get to spend time on research because that's what I love the most. Like, the benefits outweighed the cost for me. And like you mentioned before, like, it's a privilege that I was able to do this and be supportive. Like, I'm not saying it was easy in any sense. I'm saying it was worth it in every sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And good for you for making that decision as well, because that, you know, it doesn't matter if you have the same supervisor and it's the same, like, technically speaking, almost all the same things for you, wasn't totally uprooted and changed. It's still a freaking difficult decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was the first student ever to switch out of clinical and go to experimental. Wow. So it's not like this happens. It was 100% possible, but it doesn't happen. And, you know, clinical psych, it was also like, it messed with me. Like, what does it mean about me that I don't want to be a therapist when there's a mental health crisis in this country? Like, it was all of like those kinds of questions that were really hard to work through. Similar, like, you had questions like that too, that were hard to work through just in different categories.
Yeah.
So, so glad that 30 minutes into this conversation, I remember that I literally have this experience. But I also think that it speaks to like the after, like, I barely think about it now because I'm doing great. So we're going to call, you know what? That's what actually happened. I'm just doing really good with it. So I literally forgot about the hardest thing that I've gone through in grad school.
Yes. And actually, that's kind of what I've come to a point with as well, because it's now been like, what, 7-8 months away from when I made the decision that, like, now when people ask me what I'm going to be, like, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm technically a PhD student right now, but like, this is what I'm going to be, you know, like, this is what I'm doing with my life. And I like barely even touch on the school stuff anymore, because I'm like, this just doesn't really matter.
And like, it sounds like you're okay with it too. You're like, I accept this. Like, this is where I land with it. I feel good.
Yeah. So like, when I put my mental health first, it was really, really scary. And it was really, there's a lot of guilt and shame, but I have absolutely worked on that. And I encourage everyone to work on themselves first and before, you know, thinking about what other people want, because ultimately it's your life. Like, why does it matter?
Well, and that is a great transition into one of the last questions I'm going to be asking you, because we're actually getting to the end of our conversation. But I would love to hear a little bit more directly, because I think we've touched on it here and there. What kind of advice that you have for people, and I'm going to keep it broad here, because I think we've gone broad, even though we've applied it to, you know, pretty specific situations. But what advice would you have for people who are struggling putting themselves first within grad school?
For me, I really kind of had to take a step back and think, you know, why am I not putting myself first? What are the barriers to putting myself first? And most of those barriers were just other people, you know, and like, the university doesn't care who's there. Like, they don't care about that one student who's going to leave. Your supervisors, they just want to see you happy. Your family just wants to see you happy. In the end, it's so difficult putting yourself first, but I kind of started with small things. I would start making some boundaries for little things here and there. I started volunteering for things that I was passionate about rather than getting more involved with school things, because I did. I kind of like, I dove in during undergrad and during grad school with surrounding myself with things that I was like, maybe this will make me more interested. And as soon as I was like, they're not really benefiting me at all. So I'm going to actually volunteer with PhD Balance. I'm going to volunteer with Jack.org. We had a student chapter that just started at USASC. So I did a bit of work with them, not very long. But those little things was like really important as like the stepping stones to putting yeah. myself first. And you kind of just have to take it day by day too. Like it's not just going to be an easy decision.
Right.
And it's not going to be an easy step, no matter how far along you are in your own journey. But
yeah,
just like little things, they really build your confidence up and make it worth it for you.
Yeah. You know, everything that you're talking about reminds me, this really relates to another episode that I've done in the past that was less about putting yourself first to make a big decision if it's something bubbling up, which I think really we get to hone in on today's conversation. Yes. But episode 55 of the podcast I did with Rachel Rivera, who is a longtime fan of the podcast. I know you're listening right now. Hi, Rachel. but we talk a lot about putting ourselves first, prioritizing ourselves just in general in grad school, whether or not there's some big decision to make and we, you know, yeah. have to do this renaissance, if you will.
Yeah.
that's going to be my new thing.
I love that.
So we sorry for everyone t-shirts listening. Yeah. Oh, done. You know, done. Like, I'm the t-shirt lady. It's new podcast trope. It's done. But I think that putting yourself first, like, I think we just need to remember that we do not owe our grad program our well-being. Like, that's yours to have. And I just want to like really emphasize, and I have in the podcast before, like we do not need to sacrifice ourselves to the system Amen. Or to grad school. Like I think I know this was said in a past episode, but I don't know who said it. Grad school will never love you back.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
It will never love you back. So, you know, if you do let grad school consume you and it does win, you know, you are really, truly the only one that loses in that situation. It's not a lose-lose. It is a win for the system. I think it mm-hmm. likes to gobble people up and spit them out. So I just think it's so important that, you know, this isn't necessarily like a self-care episode, right? Like this isn't like a don't work too hard and overdo it episode. It's like literally don't sacrifice your mind and body to grad school. And I think that, you know, I'm just like past the point of wanting to tell people how to survive. Like, I really want people to stop surviving and learning to like live, because I've done the surviving thing. And for some people, like that's the best they can do. They can't make changes. And like, if that's your best, do that. But when I was able to make the choice to drop being a therapist, in your case, like totally switch what you were doing, I shifted out of that survival mode and I'm better for it.
Yes.
So again, like I'd say that coming from a privileged place because of how my program was set up and that I was financially able to make that decision. So I'm not discounting anything. I'm just talking about the internal aspects of that solely mm-hmm. regarding survival. I don't know. I've had like a lot of COVID has given me a lot of YOLO moments about like limited oh, yeah. time on the earth and like, you know, I'm coming up this 2-week break right now. So there's just so much more to life than grad school. And I say that as somebody who runs a grad school podcast, like very bad for my business model, but like very good for me as a person. So take that for what you will.
Absolutely. I love that because once I accepted that like grad school as it was that I was doing wasn't for me, it just felt so good. And yeah. I know I'm just like immersing myself in more grad school after it, but it's for something I'm passionate with and I'll actually be living with and yes. not, you know, sacrificing anything for it.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm excited to hear about this journey for you.
Like, oh, thank
it's
you.
Making me think, like, I don't know, a couple of years from now, if this podcast is still going on, God willing, like, maybe we'll have you back to be like,
oh, yeah.
After, like,
the success.
Exactly. Yes. The success story of Aiden Mowat. Well, it's time to head into final thoughts, which is our last part of the episode. And so final thoughts, as you probably can tell, we went a million places for this episode because I cannot follow a single line of thought. And so I like to help out my listeners just to remind them, like, here are the main points I want you to remember from today's conversation. If you take nothing else away, here's what I want you to remember. So, Aiden, I'm curious, what are your final thoughts for guests, just summarizing our whole conversation today?
Okay, so first off, you know, you really just have to put yourself first. And I know that there is so much more to it than that. But one of my big things I've really thought about this entire time since making the decision, since my relationship challenges, is I really had to take a step back and think, like, what would I say to my bestie?
Oh, I love that shit. Yes,
What would I say to my lab mate who is going through the same thing?
Oh, yes. Like, I got to make it grad school. What the hell?
Yes. Like, what if someone on the street freaking comes up to me and was like, I have two decisions. What should I do? This one doesn't make me happy. This one makes me super happy and I'm going to have the best career of my life. What would I say? And it's just right. like, it makes it so much more clear. Mm-hmm. And you have those wild bubbling emotions in your brain. And in the end, you know what you want to decide. And yes, that's always. What you have to advocate for yourself. Yes. And you have to make those decisions. And it's not going to be easy. But you don't owe anyone anything. Like you mentioned, like your supervisors, your grad program, your family, friends, like if they love you, if they respect you, even if they just like want to see you succeed and doesn't matter what you're doing, they just want to see you succeed. They just want to see you happy. And I was presented honestly with nothing but support once everyone in my life had like kind of come around to it sure. and understood where I was coming from.
Right. And like they're needing processing time is reasonable.
Yeah. And especially with my family, like with my friends, they were more like, yeah, that sounds like way more you. And even my mom, I texted her, like, I think I want to quit this and become a therapist. And she was like, Aiden, I've been waiting for this text for like a year and a half. And I was like, you know me
Shout
so
out
well.
To moms.
Yeah, mom, Shout love you, mom. Out. So they just want you to see you be successful and have a good future. And my final thought in this all is that it's okay to change your mind and it's okay to want to do something else with your life.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on that as well for my final thoughts. And I want to bring in this piece of being a little bit selfish.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And this is everybody's permission who is listening to be a little selfish.
Be a lot of selfish.
Be a lot of selfish. Yes. If that's what you need, 100%. I think that it's just that reminder of like, you don't owe yourself, like you don't owe your well-being to your program. You know, maybe you owe your productivity and your work and academics, blah, blah, but like boundaries and just remembering no one's going to remember you sacrificing your well-being except for you. And it will only hurt you. There's no benefit to be had. So just remembering, care for yourself. I love what you said about decision making, because I find often I don't have a hard time making decisions. I have a hard time accepting decisions.
Yes.
Usually yeah. I already know, like you said, I know the right answer, whether or not I'm ready to admit it or accept it. Like the bisexual thing, it took me years to go from this can't possibly be me to being, okay, fine, I'll start saying it out loud. Like,
yeah.
And the whole time the decision was the same. It was just me who had not come around to it yet. So.
Yes. And it's a difficult decision to make. Absolutely. Right.
And you know, the funny thing, like once I made that decision, at least regarding my sexuality, like it was only easy after that.
Yes.
Which is like, I look back and I'm like, God, that was dumb. Like, how much pain did I endure for what?
Yes, I
Nothing.
Know.
I mean, yep. That's not always the case, certainly. Like,
oh, absolutely not.
Not always
no.
the case, but in my case, I look back and I'm like, gosh, it would have been so much easier if I just wouldn't have done gestures here, all of that. You know, like, come on. So, that being said, why don't we remind everybody where they can find you and PhD Balance all over social media?
Absolutely. So my personal Instagram, basically just pictures of my dogs, honestly.
Oh my
at this
God,
point.
Amazing.
_ Aiden Mowat. Twitter, which is more academic stuff and like some bullshit fun stuff. Aiden_ Mowat. And then PhD Balance on all platforms, PhD_ Balance.
Amazing. And everybody listening who's a regular listener, or if you're new, that all will be linked down in the description below. But Aiden, thank you and the team at PhD Balance, because this was something that was planned with everybody in mind, and you were the one available to chat with me, and I'm so grateful for it. But thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. This was so much fun, and I'm so happy that like you were able to come to that realization that like, oh my God, I also have dealt with it.
Oh my God, I know.
Like,
you know,
everyone
like...
has been there.
Sometimes I'm like, I should plan for episodes more, but then sometimes I'm like, those organic realizations midway through makes me human, and I like to just be like, obviously I'm not perfect, also do you want to witness it in like 40 out of my 56 or 7 episodes, like here you go. So
great. Yeah, love that.
Good reminder that we're all imperfect, but also like similarly, I'm so glad that we had something in common in this way, and I think this is going to be such a valuable episode. So
yeah, I'm really excited to hear the other responses that come out from it and other people's decision makings and what they want.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, I'm sure that this is the case for you, but you know, if anyone has these kinds of things going on in their life, DM me, reach out on Twitter. I don't know if you're open as well for DMs, but
absolutely. Like my personal, sure. Also PhD Balance, like we have a lot of, if you're struggling with Discord, your self-worth. Right? Oh yeah, we do. Forgot about that.
Amazing.
Yeah, we have a Discord. It has a ton of like channels on it for connecting with other students who are maybe going through certain mental health struggles, or if you're struggling with making this big decision, the link to that will be or like in the bios of our Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, amazing. And maybe if I'm able to or can get permission to, maybe I can even put it in the episode description today. I don't know if that'll be true.
Yeah.
But Aiden, thank you for the millionth time for being a guest today. Listeners, thank you all for continuing to listen to the podcast that I started during quarantine, and I will talk to you all next week. Hashtag bye.
Oh, I loved that.
Thank you so much.
Hashtag bye. Oh, that's so cute.
You can connect with Dear Grad Student on Twitter at Dear Grad Student, on Instagram at Dear Grad Student Pod, and on Facebook at Dear Grad Student. Everything that you need for the podcast can be found on the podcast website at deargradstudent.com. If you're looking for merch, you can go to the website, click merch in the menu at the top, or look me up on Redbubble. If you just want to listen to me ramble online, you can find me on Twitter at Alana_Gloger. That's ELANA_GLOGER. And of course, everything for this podcast is made possible by the amazing podcast patrons. If you want to help out, you can join them at patreon.com/deargradstudent for $1, $3, $5, or $10 a month. If you want to help out the podcast in other ways, you can leave a review. Best place for that is Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Google Podcasts. Be sure that you are following Dear Grad Student on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you find your other favorite shows to be sure that you are notified when each episode goes live. As a reminder, all resources and links mentioned in today's episode can be found in the description. And until next time, warmest regards, best wishes, sincerely, Alana.